Welcome to Hello Chaos, the show where founders, innovators, and chaotic minds get real, get unfiltered about the mess, the magic, and the mayhem of entrepreneurship. I'm Jennifer Sutton, or JJ, as my friends and family call me. I'm your host and fellow work in progress. And today we have co-founders, Yesenia Garcia and Stephanie Cronin, founders of Feels with a Z. With a Z. Welcome to the show. Welcome to our chaos.
Thank you.
Co-founders, first, tell people about you, about Feels, and what led to you guys starting this company.
Seth, you want
that? Yeah, you want me?
Yeah. Who wants to go? Who wants to go?
Okay, I'll talk about what led us to it, and then we'll let Yesenia go into. I'll let her say the hard words. I'll say the easy words, right? All of the ingredients we can't pronounce them anyway. So Yesenia and I worked together for about 7-8 years in the cannabis space. Don't tell anyone, but she's my boss, and she whipped me into shape really good.
So she was your HR nightmare then?
Yeah, she was. Okay. She was just like, oh, please stop it, because I'm not getting fired. So if you don't stop it, you're out of here. So we worked together in the cannabis space, and we were, Senia headed up the whole marketing. She was a vice president of marketing. I was a director of marketing, and we loved what we did, and we were engrossed in it for a really long time. But as most people know with cannabis, there's a lot of legalities, a lot of things that you're constantly fighting, uphill battles, even when it comes to marketing, just even displays or assets or packaging. So anyway, we got to that point. We're not spring chickens, just chickens. And we were like, we're ready to, we just wanted something for ourselves, you know? And we went through a lot of different iterations. And one of the things we got to is what do we want to do in the health and wellness field? We are very much into holistic medicine and natural being and natural. So what do we want to do that we won't have the same legalities, constrictions and for traveling and things like that? And as we call it, our icon, which are the rabbit hole. These are rabbit ears and a rabbit hole.
I was wondering, like, what is that? What is the icon?
Okay. It's a rabbit ears coming out of the hole. So every conversation we've ever been on is always going down a rabbit hole. We start here, we wind up here, we go there. And it was just like, okay, stop it. We got to get out of this hole. Let's go to it. But all those rabbit holes led us to Feels. Hmm. And so we came up with something that was different. It was holistic, was natural, that was completely legal, that you can travel, you can use anywhere, and just help overall well-being that could fit into any lifestyle. And I'll turn it over to Yesenia for Feels.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think when we finally landed with Feels, it was like, okay, we want to be in the functional mushroom space, right? I personally would drink the mushroom coffee every day, and I loved it. And I was like, well, I want to make something different, something you can kind of just take with you that's easy. I think once you start complicating things for people, you lose some people, right? So a gummy is just like an easy format. And that's what we decided to launch with. And through the conversations throughout the years, there was always like a few needs that we heard over and over again, right? Like everybody has trouble sleeping, like across the board. Everybody has trouble like with energy, and how do they get like, you know, we're tired, right? So how do you get that little boost? And then just in general with like stress and all that stuff. So we're like, okay, functional mushrooms are great. We love them. And we know, you know, there's definitely an audience for it. But how can we differentiate Feels, right? So what out there can we incorporate into our product to make us, you know, stand out? And after research and you know, conversations and all the good stuff, we found Kana, which is a plant from South Africa. And we're really excited about it because there is research on it. It's definitely not a regulated substance. So we were very happy with that piece of it. And it just worked cohesively with the rest of our ingredients, right? Our gummies have zero coloring. We don't put flavoring in it. We actually have like the fruits that are in there are actual like pulverized fruits. And so everything down to the fruit is with intention, right? So like mango, like our night one is mango and cherry. And you're like, doesn't even make any sense. To me anyway, it didn't make any sense. Like tropical and not and the whole thing, but they're for the effect of the fruit, right? And so we were like, okay, let's start with those three, right? Just in general, cognitive support, gummy format. Let's launch like that. And that's pretty much how we started.
So are you guys based in the same area right now?
We're about an hour and a half from each other.
Okay.
We're both in South Florida.
In Florida.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I don't know if it's like the, you know, red car theory of once you kind of look into something, then you see stuff everywhere. I've just seen like the category of functional mushrooms, you know, and cannabis, more like the drinks and that sober cure, you know, just seeing that more and more kind of explode. But, you know, I'm in South Carolina. We've seen that explode here, but we've seen it across, you know, in the restaurant, the food and beverage industry. Have you guys seen that too within like the gummy, you know, the gummy space and where you guys found your niche since?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think the gummy space is definitely, it's pretty saturated, right? Which is one of the reasons why we were trying to differentiate ourselves with our specific ingredients. I mean, we don't have, when we were doing the formulations, we actually worked with a formulator to like bring it to life, because it's very easy to go, there's manufacturing facilities throughout the country, right? And they white label all sorts of functional mushroom gummies, and there's nothing wrong with them. But for us, we wanted something that was very targeted and specific. And we didn't want to throw the kitchen sink in it, right? And then hope that it works. Like, so we've definitely seen, you know, there's some key players in the market. We all have something a little different than the other. Yeah. I think, again, what makes us very different is Arcana. And that if you look at our ingredients, they are pretty limited compared to some of our competitors, right?
So who have a cleaner.
That. Yeah, there's like a very long laundry list of things in some of this stuff. And I mean, you know, I think there's something for everyone. Arcana is microdosed, so, but it does help with like the serotonin component. And that is the one ingredient that goes throughout everything. Because our mushrooms do change depending on what we're doing as far as like which mushrooms are selected for which ones. But, and then the drink space is huge. I mean, that's a whole other monster.
Well, this episode of Hello Chaos is brought to you by Bright Marketing, a curiosity-driven full-service agency that has designed a business model specifically for small to mid-sized businesses. Bright is a full-service agency that crawls, walks, then runs alongside a business, providing CMO-level strategy combined with an execution team. They find the friction in a business and brand, whether it's in brand, in marketing, or advertising, and then deliver on the activities to eliminate, smooth out the frictions so that the company accelerates growth. Because here's the thing, owners and most executives didn't really get a crash course in brand marketing or advertising. We came out and saw the gap of knowledge, the gap of resources from a full service where we find the friction, we build the playbooks, we create the plans and create the consistencies in brand. And then we work on where we need to show up from an advertising perspective. And as we are building the advertising program, we're also looking to see how do we create the marketing engine, the ecosystem, and kind of build that the program so the business is scalable and it accelerates growth. So if you're curious to learn more, head over to our website at gobrightnow.com or send an email to hello@gobrightnow.com. We are able to take on 5 new clients by the end of the year because we can't work with everybody. We'd love to, but we are taking on 5 new accounts in Q4. We love to bring you on board. So sign up for a free discovery call and we can walk through to see, is it a right fit? Are we the right agency for you? And can we help you grow? So, I mean, you guys came, because this is your first kind of entrepreneurial endeavor, right? And doing it as a partnership, but you know, a co-foundership. How was that? You know, what was the shift like to go from you know, employer, you guys work for the same employer, mm-hmm. and now you're kind of coming as a partnership in that dynamic. Were there things that you were like, okay, well, you know, how do we make this work? What advice do you have for other people working with somebody? How are you guys like managing the relationship, the partnership?
Yeah. Well, I let her still wear the pants, so fine.
You're like, you do the big stuff. Did you guys have to like make really clear roles of this is what I'm going to be doing and this is what you're going to be doing? Or is it more of an organic dynamic?
It really is. And I think it helps that Steph and I have very different skill sets.
Exactly. We do. We like, and I think that's one thing that's extremely important, because if you both do, if let's say if it's two partner, right, three, whatever, if you all do the same thing well, then there's a lot of other stuff. Well, who's going to do that? Because there's nobody, we have to then bring someone in to do those things well, right? So there's a clear delineation, and we talk about it all the time. Like, nope, that's you. You take that. Anything that's, you know, making something look pretty, don't come to me. Just like let Yesenia make everything look nice and, you know, whatever. So we know what we do well. I will never let her handle the books because there'll be papers flowing all over the place. So, but the thing is we also totally respect each other to the highest degree, our opinions, you know, and I think we're both of that. If there's something we really, really believe in and the other person isn't fully on board, it's like, we will keep pleading the case, right? Just to say, I really feel like this, but I think, you know, we have so much respect for each other's knowledge, talent, as people, as human beings, it's just easy. And the division, if you will, came naturally because what's good is we both know our strengths and weaknesses. So that makes it easier. There's no one like, I have to do everything. I have to do all this. The only thing I do more of is talk. Other than that, I'm the New York chatty caddy. And this one, when I first met her, was like, she doesn't talk much, does she?
And I think we both leave our egos at the door. Like that just doesn't exist in our world, right? Yeah. It's not an ego thing. This isn't about, she jokes with like me making things pretty. It's not even about that. Like, it's just like, how can we be the most effective? Are you having a really busy week? Okay, I'll pick up the slack, vice versa. And it's never something where we've up to now had to like sit down and say, well, you know, this or that. It just works. And we both show up for each other. And I think that just, it's helpful. It takes away a lot of the unnecessary stress.
Yeah.
And we have fun. Like we really do. I mean, even when it's like, you know, it's like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to grow? Whatever. But we still wind up having fun out of it because there's too much out there that's going on. If you can't have fun doing it, it's sort of like, you know, and that was, I think, also one of the reasons why we wanted to do something for ourselves. So we can have fun. We can run it the way we run it and not having somebody else tell us. And we build the culture that we want and we expect. And hopefully when we get to a point where we can actually bring more people into the company, we're going to create that same culture that we always wanted.
Right.
Where people enjoy themselves, feel comfortable, have a voice, have a place, and feel like it's home.
That's good. Yeah. Defining those things while it's kind of early, that way you know your deal breakers, you know what you're hiring for.
Yep.
You can
social media.
Social media, onboard people really, you know, a lot easier. So the other thing, coming out of court, you know, working for somebody else out of a corporate kind of environment, were there myths or perceptions you had about starting a business, especially in this space, that have been complete like myths that you're like, let me debunk these right now? Or is it going the way you completely thought?
Money. Where's the money?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the biggest, you know, it's almost like in line with at least like our last roles in the sense of, and I can't believe I did this, but marketing kind of sits at the end, right? Like you build this whole thing.
Right.
And it's like, well, where's the money to market it? Where?
Yeah.
And as a marketer and two, like, how did we miss that part of it? Like, yeah, R&D is great, all of this, but like, you know, and so that's where we are right now. You know, when I remember submitting yearly budgets, and it's like, you know, X amount to grow, and you know, and
you're like, where's that money going to come from to
grow? It's like, Steph, how much money do I have to this week? I said, you can spend $25. That's spend right. it wisely.
Yeah.
Make sure. But it's true. Like you have to, you really have to scrutinize every dollar. I run a marketing agency, so I know, I feels the pain.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we run this media company, but yeah, as a founder, you're going every dollar that I spend in whatever it is, like, it doesn't matter if it's in, you know, staff, is it in materials, is it in tools, technology, it's still dollars, and you want them returned with cousins.
Yeah.
Preferably three, not a one-on-one. Like,
right.
I don't need just one cousin, I need like three or four. And it's really like, so every dollar needs to be, you know, so scrutinized.
But at the beginning, when we were, again, we put a lot of time and effort into formulating from scratch and trying different things. And, you know, obviously money well spent, because if we didn't have a good product, we wouldn't be sitting here today.
Product is everything. Yeah.
Product is everything. Again, that differentiator, because if we didn't have a differentiator, we're just two unknowns.
Well, and that, and you have to spend more. The noise you have to make.
Yeah. Exactly. And we also probably went a little bit above for presentation of our gummies, like in the packaging and the box, because first impressions are everything. So, you know, we didn't want to just launch our product and it just come haphazardly.
Right.
So we wanted to make that impression. And then it was like, okay, so we did all this. It looks great. We're all excited. Nobody's coming. Now what do we do? Right. Well, we don't have any money to do that with. Okay, now what, you know, really now what do we do?
What about getting scrappy?
We're getting scrappy.
Really scrappy. The bootstraps.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Well, we were like, it's like, which hat do you wear today? I'm sitting here packing, you know, about, you know, scraping the barrel for some more boxes and running, you know, we're running to the UPS and whatever and delivering. And here we do everything. You know, the only thing we don't do is manufacture. But other than that, we do everything, because that's really the only way we can afford to grow.
Right.
You know, and then unfortunately for both of us, the one area we lack is we both just hate social media. We're both just like, I just don't want to like look at social media. And in today's world, without social media, you're nothing.
Yeah.
So that's our biggest struggle is, you know, social is like, okay, we have to do this. I'm afraid to do it. I don't know what to do, you know?
Look, and Chandler's heard this so many times. I was one of those people. Yeah, I mean, I have them for the company, but I always had, you know, either I didn't have to do it myself and I hated it. But a few years ago, another founder was like, Jennifer, you have so much content, and not just like content, you have expertise, you have knowledge, you have passion for the industries, for the categories, for leadership, for management, marketing and advertising. And just, yeah, you're teaching your team, but put that out into the world. And I was, you know, it's like, so I started building all these articles, like writing articles, presentations, and I would never post it because I was afraid. And I made a couple of years ago, I started what I call, it's a 641 challenge. And I don't know if you've heard this before. It kind of floats around some founder spaces, but I'm on my third year on this. But it's the 641 of 6 times a year. So like every other month, you do some kind of mini adventure, something that you've never done before. Like I've done sound baths. I've never done a sound bath. I wanted to explore that and experiment. Or I did an angel reading, or I did horseback riding, or I went, you know, to wineries and stuff. So whatever, and some I've taken my kids and done things with them that, you know, we all went roller skating or so, you know, just things of adventure 6 times a year. So at the end of the year, you can go, we had 6 really cool kind of mini adventures and things that I would have never thought to do, but it kind of gave that power of yes of, all right, you know, that sounds interesting. I got, you know, things I would have typically turned away from. And then the other, the four is every quarter adopt a habit. So, you know, you start doing the, you know, yoga, like I'm trying to get, you know, wellness, trying to do, I started journaling. When I say journaling, mine's really brief. I just answer three questions every night. And that's my extent of journaling. And then the one is like, choose something that's like what your year's going to be known for, something epic. So, you know, the first year it was like a big family trip. Last year, it was another kind of trip. And then this year I'm writing a book. So that's kind of what I want the year to be known for. But anyway, all last year, I mean, I was doing photo shoots. I'm like, I'm going to post this content that I never posted. And I don't know what it was, but it was like a weird fear of putting myself out there. So I gave myself my first quarter challenge of this year was post every day and choose, like I chose LinkedIn. And that was where I posted. Within 30 days, I actually found that I enjoyed it.
Nice.
That I had an outlet for creativity that maybe I didn't know I had or needed. And then it was like, I started progressing. I'm like, okay, the second month, I'm like, okay, I'm going to post then other channels. And I'm just going to repost it, like maybe tweak it a little bit for Instagram or Facebook. And then my second quarter was, a friend of mine reached out and was like, I love your content, but you're holding back. You're filtering yourself. And I was like, well, I am. I'm kind of still fear of what I put out there. I'm going to be judged. And they're like, stop. Like you need to take that next leap. So I gave myself a bold action and was my, you know, and it's interesting how the response I've been getting, the feedback, people will stop me even on like the street that I didn't even know we're paying attention to, and we'll go, I read that article last week that really moved me or something. So, and to me, I have to have a challenge or it's gotta be a habit I form. Cause if I just say I'm going to do it. So that's how I overcame it. I'm not saying that that's will work for anybody, but yeah. And it's so funny. I'm like, I'm posting pictures and they're like, that picture's great. It's like, God, I took that over a year ago. Holding it.
Yeah. Well, it was funny you said that because we went to the manufacturer we were watching, you know, they were making our next batch and we took some pictures and, you know, we're all suited up and we have the caps on and the masks on and everything. And we just took this fun picture holding the gummies and you can't tell right now, but Yesenia's. So I'm a little taller than her. So we took this picture and, you know, she's here, I'm here, we're holding the gummies, making faces. And she's like, I'm just going to post this.
There you go.
And you did, right? And that was like the most liked post that we've had. Yeah.
And I think that's what you'll find. I think that's what people are craving. I think, you know, with AI kind of coming in with the surge and just the explosion of social media. And why is the explosion of social media? Yes, there's a need, but there's also a overwhelming sense of who am I watching? Are these people real?
Yeah. You can't tell anymore.
Sometimes you can't, like some of these videos are like crazy good. You can't tell that they're not. So I think we have a heightened sense of, as a community, as consumers, that we are really looking, and it's always been that way in branding, right? The more the authentic and genuine the brand is, true, you know, and whatever they say in their advertising or, you know, that it matches in social, that it matches internally. That's how you build a culture. That's what great brands do, the Nikes and the Apples of the world. That's what they're doing. And I think at a micro level, you know, all the startup founders, that's the same true for consumers looking and will gravitate towards companies and people and founders that are truly being authentic to themselves and the passion and the stories. That's one of the reasons we started the podcast a few years ago was we saw there was a gap in entrepreneurship of real stories, not the ones that get polished and filtered that the city pushes out to go look at our entrepreneurial ecosystem and look how great we are as a city. Move here, bring your business here. And those are really, really filtered and great. You know, those founders, they get their, you know, extra promotion, but it doesn't really tell the full story of the people behind the scenes and what it took to get there, or really the broad spectrum of entrepreneurship. And I think, you know, that's why we started this. Our listeners respond to those stories, the realness of what it takes, because it's hard work.
There's a very big difference with, you know, I mean, got over 25 years of experience in marketing, right? Very different when you're doing it for yourself.
That's right.
So, you know, with over 60 people on my team at some times, like, it's different when now it's your brand. I mean, you don't know how many times I've like taken a photo, done a video, whatever, edit the whole thing. I send her the, and I just don't post it. And I'm right. Like, it's not the right, it's not perfect yet.
I feel you. Like it is a,
it has to be good enough. And, right. You know, and I think getting through that is part of what we're working on right now.
It's a journey.
I think it's also because we are a little, well, I'm a little older. I think we did not grow up with social media, right, and the posting and putting yourself out there and all of that. So it's not natural for
it
us.
It is not natural.
Where, right. Where it's natural for, and I look at them like, oh, I'm too old to do that.
Right.
Let the kids do that type of thing.
It's like, but you'll find a community.
Yeah. I think it's that. And also like, we're going to just do our own thing. This is fun. Right. We've both been working for 25, 35 years,
right,
in different areas, just making things work, right? Figuring things out as you go along. And that, now I feel like for us, this is our chance and our time to take all of that experience,
right,
and bring it to life in something that we
love
and we're passionate about and excited for it. And yeah. And you take it personally. Right. And, you know, if someone says, oh, I tried your gummy, it didn't work. It's like, God, that's like the worst thing you can hear. And like everything, nothing is perfect for everybody. Right. But I think we just want to be able to take this passion, bring it out there and just have people enjoy it and benefit from it. You know,
absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We had a founder on, what was it last week, Chandler, that was talking about, she's in the apparel, doing like performance apparel for in a gap in a space, uniforms that fit female bodies. And she had the same thing. Like she was being crushed whenever somebody was like, oh, you know, I don't like the style or I don't like this fit. And it was interesting. She said that she had to flip the script of the mindset of she looked for every, she like started craving, not complaints, but like, give me the constructive criticism, because it is now what feeds her business model's uniqueness of, we're taking feedback, constructive criticism, anything negative, and we're creating kind of like basically a database of information that feeds then the business. And she was like, I was so afraid of getting the, and it crushed. She was like, now I look at it and go, oh my God, this is what she's like, it looked at it more as an opportunity, because it created an opportunity for more doors open. So I was like, oh, I never thought of it that way. That was, that was such a aha moment for me during that conversation.
Yeah.
And so now I've even tried to go, okay, I need to flip that to go, you know, any feedback could be an opportunity for a window or a door to open.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's in part why we launched, it'll be a year, July 1st, right? And
almost anniversary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we first launched, we're like, okay, we've got to just do this very slowly, get feedback, see if we need to make any adaptations as we go versus like, you know, full-fledged in there. And we really have taken this year to again, we're in, you know, some retail spaces, things like that, but just have conversations. When we get emails from our customers, good or bad, respond, learn from it. And hey, at the end of the day, honestly, they're plants. It doesn't work the same for me that it does for Stephanie or anybody else,
that's
right?
True, like, yeah.
They all work differently for each of us. And like even our recommended dose, like, you know, Stephanie mentioned I'm on the shorter side of the spectrum, right? 6 feet tall. I'm not going to say his weight, but he's a large guy. And our sleep gummy, he takes one and sleeps like a baby. I need two. I'm half his size. you know? And so that's just the things that you can, you know, kind of have a conversation about. I think it's just realizing that not every product is good for everyone.
Right.
But we're transparent in the way we do things. The industry in general is, you know, one of the aha moments for me was when we went to do our supplement facts. And, you know, it's interesting. It's, you really have to research who you're buying from and just make sure that, you know, because it is an unregulated market, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We take a lot of pride in what we do and doing third-party testing and making sure that we are selling what we say we're selling.
Right.
And that was definitely a learning experience for me, specifically coming from a market that was so regulated that everything had to, and then all of a sudden you could basically do whatever you wanted, right. You know. And so that was
the wild, wild west.
It really is.
Because we made sure like all the ingredients that we sourced from did their own third-party testing. Then we do our own third-party testing once our gummies are completed before we put them out of the market, because that is of utmost importance to us, because if it's not, then we don't want to be there, right? We just don't want to be there. And I think the other thing is when you are, the other challenge when you're introducing something new, like Kana is new, is where does that education fit in, right?
Yeah.
Where do, you know, people don't have time. They're just, they want to go, they want to look, oh, this does this, but I'll try that, right?
Right.
But it's like, there's so many important components to it. And it's, how do we get that education out there in the right place, in the right way, for people to understand the benefits of,
right,
of the Kana and the differentiator of it.
Well, and I didn't even think about, even when you were talking, the dosage or the plant, your bodies respond to plants differently and digestives and just the, so I didn't even think about that relationship. So, yeah.
You guys, and even the same
you
person.
You guys have a lot to say. You need to go on some
Social media and social media. Post things.
As I say that, I was like, I have a bunch of videos that I've never posted. That's my next quarter challenge is videos, post videos. Taylor's like, get on it. I did a bunch of videos and I was trying to read the teleprompter thing, and I wasn't paying it. Didn't show like the picture. So my first few videos, I should have saved them. Now that I think about it, I should have saved them. I deleted them because I was like, what, I'm an idiot. I didn't get any of my face. It was like my top of my head, the side of my ear. I was like, I spent a whole day walking around the block, doing videos, and I didn't even get my face.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I probably should have done that.
And sometimes you just kind of have to post those type of things and just laugh at it and say like, hey, this is me doing my first video.
I should have kept it. I really should. I wonder if I kept one in there. It's in the studio somewhere. We can look.
It's like if you have to record a response to something, some of these applications, they'll like, you know, record a why we should choose you. And you sit there and like 50 times later, you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm sweating and heart's pounding. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I made mistakes. Take it. Don't choose me. I don't care. Don't choose us. I can't do this again.
So we just need to do like, so challenge, bold actions in video.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
I'm going to give you a challenge. What have you guys learned about yourselves or each other working in this capacity with each other and through the journey? Like, you know, some self-discovery.
Well, one thing I've learned about Yesenia, which she's definitely much better at than I am. She's always thinking ahead, right? So when we're
visionary kind of,
when we look at something, it's like, how can that impact, affect, you know, all those steps. And I'm like, well, if we do this now, we can do this, because I've been trying to live in the moment my whole life because I'm always thinking 20 years ahead. So now it's coming back to haunt me a little bit because now I'm trying to be in the moment as opposed to thinking ahead. So I love the way she's always like connecting the dots down the road, which I don't always do. So I have learned that about her working this closely with her.
I mean, I've learned a lot this last year, to be honest with you. one of like my key takeaways is to just kind of let go a little bit. I tend to be a little bit of a control freak, and I would not have gone down this venture with a better suited partner if I tried. But it really is. It's like, if she says she's got it, like, I don't even think about it anymore. Where before it was like, if somebody would have told me, hey, yeah, I've got something, and until I see it like submitted and you've texted and I know and it's confirmed, I'm like, you know, and now she says, no, I've got this. And I just, okay, great. Sounds good. You know, and kind of move on.
That's nice to have that reliance and the trust. What is something that you really like about yourself that you wish other people recognized more?
For me, I think just capability. I guess for me, just in my career thus far, I'm capable of so much more than I thought I was.
Right.
And I think this kind of taking this on has kind of helped me with my confidence and capabilities. I mean, obviously, to go out to do something on your own, you have to have some sort of guts, right? Because it is scary and, you know, you're taking a big risk for sure. But just, you know, that the capabilities of what can you do and what can you accomplish. And yeah, sometimes I wish, or maybe in the past, more people realized that and gave me that opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, where I think now we're in the position to grow, and, you know, and no topic is off limits here. Anything one of us wants to try or think about or do, it's like, let's do it. Let's try it. What's the worst going to happen?
Let's go down a rabbit hole.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know if this totally answers the question. I've been thinking about it a little bit, but for me, it's probably more of, I have like this, like, RBF face that I cannot help. I was born with it. Like, it's not on purpose. I'm actually a very happy person, but I get asked all the time, like, what's wrong? Why are you mad?
Are you okay?
Like, yeah. I'm thrilled. I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm super happy right now. So, and it's something that I think probably like the last month or two after meeting Melanie, and you know, that I'm really making a very, very conscious effort. But it's hard because never an intentional thing. You know what I mean? And I mean, my kids are my husband, like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm fine. Like, I get agitated because I've been asked like 50 times. And
you're like, I'm fine. Yeah. So my daughter was my oldest. She's now 24, but when she was entering high school, she's always had that, like that, the RB, you know, the resting bitch face. And it was just kind of a funny thing and it was more of like a snarl, like, her upper lip kind of just one up, like, just look at, you know, and now I have four kids, and my youngest daughter, who's my youngest, she's 14 and also has the face. And so she now makes fun of, oh, look at her facial expression, you know, but when my daughter was around that same age, she, you know, she was entering high school, and we would always say, like, are you okay? Like, smile. You know, she's like, I'm fine. And then when she went into high school, I had a friend of mine, daughter was in the same grade, and he called me and he goes, you know, Lainey was really excited to meet your daughter at school, but she is deathly afraid of her. And I was like, what are you talking about? She was like, yeah, your daughter intimidates the crap out of my daughter. I'm like, did she say something? Do something? No, she just doesn't look like she wants to be bothered. And so that night we, you know, we went home and we're like, you know, Sophie, you know, you do it. Like, how are you interacting? Are you making friends? She was like, not really. And I thought Lainey would be my, you know, she's like, I thought I'd have more friends. High school's a lot harder. And I said, well, I'm going to just give you a little piece of advice. I said, you know, the snarl that we always like, we joke as a family, but we all know you're happy and you are, you know, have a great sense of humor. And when you do laugh and you do smile, the entire room lights up, but you keep that hidden. And she was like, what are you talking about? I smile all the time. And I said, I think you're smiling on the inside. I think we need to put that smile on the outside. And we started working through exercises, and it took about, you know, a couple of years. And it wasn't until she had to form a habit, but it was like,
yeah,
But it was enough people that would come up to her and go, "Are you okay? I'm fine." And she'd come back. She was like, "Mom, I think I'm smiling on the inside again. I don't know how to get my smile on the outside." And I know I have to, like, so that was what, 10 years ago? I had to become subconscious of, am I smiling? Am I smiling only on the inside? So now we're working on my 14-year-old because she does have the RBF and the eye rolls of an asshole teenager that she is.
What age? Good luck.
It is. It's fun. They're funny. But yeah. So funny that you say that of the RBF.
And it's funny because, as Yesenia knows, I talk to anyone like I'm in the elevator. I'm always like, "Hey, how you doing today?" I'd rather do that than sit there like this. Floor are we on? You know, so like, I'd rather, you know.
What floor are we
on? Yeah. And I'm just like, "Hey, how you're, you know, whatever." And I think, I don't know, with Yesenia and maybe even your daughters, it's also until I get to know you, I am not going to show you myself.
Right.
And then, so it was that whole, and then once I know you, all bets are off.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to show you that until I feel comfortable enough with you.
Right.
Where I just don't care. Like, I'm not going to let you into my personal whatever if I don't know you. But if I don't know you, I'm still fine. Like, "Hey, what's up?
I don't need to talk.
You know?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had to become what I've heard called a learned extrovert because I am a reserved introvert by nature. But I've had to learn like how to enjoy networking, enjoy, because, you know, if it's, well, I have to do this, I'm going to be miserable and I'm going to hold up the wall in the back of the room versus how do I go in and have more purpose, find more joy in it and really become that, but it drains the crap out of me. And I know I get home, I need to block time in my day to then rebuild my energy because it takes so much to be the Stephanies of the world that can talk to just anybody.
It's exhausting.
Like, it's exhausting to be me.
It's exhausting for people to listen to me. So it works both ways. But on a good note, I married someone who talks twice as much as I do. So it's much. Yeah. He chumps me any day. So I'm just like, Are you done? Are you done? Like, payback's a bitch. Let me tell you. Because I'm like, are you done yet? I've been listening to you for an hour now and I'm tired.
Right. And so when you exit the home, you're like, who can I release all of this energy to?
Well, we would do our road trips. I was like, okay, I have my entertainment because
we're good.
How do you guys deal with stress and big challenges when you get him? And you're 1 year in the startup trying to ramp up manufacturing and marketing and sales. This is like the most stressful time.
Well, I drink. I'm not sure what she does. The gym, right? It's got right. Because I've always been an athlete, and so that's always been a release for me. And now Yesenia is on a great kick going to the gym.
Hate the gym.
I know. Me too.
But I like it now. I've become friends.
You found how to find joy in it.
Yeah, I go with my son, which is nice. You know, it's like a bonding thing for us, except for when he makes me do stuff I don't want to do. And then I get that's a whole other. So it's more of like, you know, it's a time to spend with him, which is nice. But it does, like, when there's a few days or two crazy and I don't go, I feel more tense.
You feel the miss.
Yeah.
It's just a good physical and mental release. Like, I go there, I put my music on, don't talk to me. Like, that's where I don't talk. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want anyone approaching me. I just want to be in my zone, get out of my head.
Your me time.
My me time. That helps a lot. I mean, I don't have kids. I have a little dog. And so just honestly, you know, just being with him and my husband, sometimes we just put on some stupid show, even if it's just Law and Order, and just like try and get out of the head and
comfort shows.
a comfort shows that you don't have to think, you don't have to, you know, do much and just sort of just try and like just take my mind off of things. Yeah. And reading a book sometimes, like that'll, when I have time, or like in the middle of the night when I can't sleep because I'm so stressed, then I pick up a book and I start reading, and at least it takes my mind off of, wait, how many sales did we have?
Right. So if I gave you guys a magic wand, what two things would you change about your business today? Yes, I know funding.
What two things?
Well, the obvious one, since we talked about it, is really boosting that social media presence, which is, like it or not, it's imperative. So if we can get that to where it needs to be, that's one major thing.
Share your knowledge and your passion, because again, you guys are coming into the space with a lot of credibility and experience. I mean, show that off. Yeah.
So I think the second would be just like, I guess the assortment, right? Like there's plans for growth there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of antsy about like just getting it closed off. So like just getting it there.
Nice. And then next year, I'm going to come down to Florida and we're going to celebrate something. A big win. What are we celebrating?
we're going to celebrate Swigs.
Swigs?
Swigs.
What is Swigs? Is that another gummy based? No. Is it a drink?
You're going to take
it's a swig.
It's a swig.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah,
a shot.
It's closer to a
close
shot.
Enough. Yeah, closer to a shot. Yeah,
we're working on keeping our thought process behind our formulations and things like that, and how to bring that in.
So I think it's like the ginger shots, but like a little swig of some feels dosage.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'd do that.
Yeah. I think we both try to stay true to ourselves and our visions and our ideas. You start working with other people on certain things, you know, because you have to.
Right.
And it's very easy for people to say, well, have you thought about doing this? And have you thought about doing that? And you should do this. And we're like, yeah, no. And if that means that this can't come to life, then this is not the right time for us to do this. You got to really stick to your guns, because if you don't believe in it, nobody else will. So I think we've gotten really good at, even though, you know, you get that, there's that part of that desperation where it's like, we got to get more out there, we got to do this. But do we want to do that sacrificing what we're trying to grow? That's a question everybody has to answer,
right?
For us, it's no. For someone else, it may be, well, you know what? I'm going to get it out there and I'll worry about it later. But for us, it's stick to our guns. And when it's right, it's right. And I think, you know, and maybe our experience has helped with that, because we've seen people rush things to market or rush things and not done the right way. And it comes back to kind of bite you in the butt a little bit. So I think maybe part of our experience has taught us to like trust your instinct, trust your guns, and go with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for next year for you.
We're excited.
My two questions that I ask all founders on the show. If you had to sum up your entrepreneurial journey in one word, what would that word be and why? Who wants to go first?
Go ahead. I'm going to say shit. And in a lot of good ways, like, holy shit, we did that. And holy shit, we didn't do that.
Yeah. Or holy shit, we did that.
Holy shit. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I remember when we first started, like when we saw our product out there, it was like, holy shit, we did that. We did it. Right. And then it was, okay, holy shit, what are we going to do now? And how do we do this? And how do we do that? So for me, curse words for me just express everything, the good, bad, and indifferent. So I'm just going to go with shit.
Or the, oh shit. Holy shit.
Oh shit. Exactly.
I think I'm going to go with huzzah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the umbrella, right?
It's our umbrella.
Yeah.
Company.
Well, that's a nice way of saying holy shit. So
that's right.
You know, you're excited. It's joy, excitement, and even with the craziness and the not so good stuff, it's all great, you know, and we're doing it for each other. We're building something we believe in and we're passionate about. So huzzah.
Huzzah. I love it. All right. Next chapter in the book, in the journey. What word defines that?
I'm going to go with fearless. Is that something trying to really, you know, we talked
step
about
into that. Yes.
And trying to let go of the, okay, if a campaign doesn't work, it doesn't work. And, you know, I mean,
it's lessons learned.
Learn and adjust. Yeah. I think that's the next thing to really be able to embrace and understand that sometimes we will fail and that's okay as long as you learn from it, right? And it's almost like getting everything you always told your teams for years, but now applying it to yourself.
Right, right.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's just like go. Just
green light.
Just keep going. Just keep going. Don't look back. Just keep going forward. And yeah, just if you don't give it everything you got, you just won't know. So, you know, I'm not going to do this again. I'm not going to do this with anyone else. I'm not going to do this again. So it's just, let's give it everything we got if it works. And for me, I don't have children. Yesenia does. So it would be my thrill and honor to be able to leave a legacy for her kids to pick up and take and run. And then make it into something I may never see, but that would be amazing.
Let's go.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love that. Those are great words. I appreciate you guys coming on the show. This was so good hanging out with you. But before we go, where do you want people to connect with you, learn more about, where to buy? Give them all the stuff.
Okay. So, I mean, our website is findyourfeelswithaz.com. Definitely visit us there. You can email through that platform as well. We're both on LinkedIn. So if you just look us up on LinkedIn, we're there.
Instagram, our handle, whatever is find your feels.
Find your feels.
Everything
everywhere.
Is find your feels with the Z. Yep.
With the Z.
And our email is hello@findyourfeels.com.
Nice.
As well. Yeah.
Consistency. There you go.
Yeah.
Marketers. Well, I appreciate it. And we'll tag everything on the episode. You guys, this was fun. I love getting to know you and
back at you.
I'm waiting for the swigs. That'll be great.
Cheers to that.
Yep. Cheers to that.
Here's the swigs.
That's right.
Like I said, I drink. So there you go.
There you go. Well, and that's a wrap on today's chaos. But the journey doesn't stop here. If you found yourself nodding along, laughing, or even yelling, same, same, Stephanie, I feel your pain. Make sure to subscribe, share, leave us that 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. We love it. You can also dig deeper into founder resources and tools or more episodes at orangewhip.com. And that's orangewhip, WIP. For work in progress, .com. Until next time, stay curious, stay scrappy, and remember, we all are a work in progress. I'll see you again next week.